Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Monday, June 20th, 2016. And with me today, I have John Martellaro. How are you?
I am pretty good.
That's great. And that is certainly better than horribly bad. Brian Chaffin, how are you? All right. Well, that's better than. So, you know, I'll take it. And I think today is the first day of summer. So happy.
At 4:23 p.m. today. So tomorrow will be the first full day.
All right. So today's when it comes in. And thank you, Mr. Science, for being right on top of that time for me. You rocks. Hey, we have a sponsor today, and that sponsor is Atlassian.
You just got called a nerd, John.
I love it.
I do too.
Yeah. But I do love you, John. You are awesome. Hey, we should start off today with our new power company. And by that, I mean Apple has applied to become essentially a power company. And they'll be able, if this would allow them to sell directly to businesses and individuals electricity at retail prices. And
this is called Apple Energy.
Yeah.
It's formed recently.
So, yeah. So this is more than just Apple wants to be the power company, I'm assuming.
Well, there's a little bit of a twist to it, and that is that Apple is focused on renewable energy. You know, they built these solar energy farms to power their own data centers, and it turns out they have such surplus that it occurred to Apple, I surmise, that they could sell this energy to businesses and consumers. They have to get permission first from FERC. I love saying that.
I'm sure you do.
FERC is the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission. And when they, if they get that approval, then they can sell electricity to businesses and consumers. With a twist, there is something called a REC, an REC. It's a renewable energy certificate. And when you sell that energy, it certifies that you're using renewable energy resources. They pay maybe a little bit of extra energy, a little bit of cost over and above coal or natural gas powered plants that use carbon, but they have the ability to brag that they're using renewable energy when they buy their electricity. And the other twist is that, as we know, there are healthy rumors, Brian, that Apple's going to build an electric car. And how convenient would it be for Apple to sell you the electricity guaranteed from renewable energy resources?
Yeah, I don't like that
to
angle.
To charge your electric car.
I don't like that angle at all.
Well, I leave it to us to ponder the implications.
So, like, maybe Apple would create their own proprietary electricity, like reverse polarity, alternating current, Apple power.
Now, this isn't about that. This is actually just about the efficient use of power that is created from a commercial standpoint. And that's what I mean by efficient. So, Apple is making these huge investments all over the globe. But this particular Apple Energy thing is a U.S. centric endeavor, or so it seems, and they are creating all of this renewable energy generation, projects, equipment, installations. Sometimes they're partnering with companies. Sometimes they're doing it themselves, and then sometimes they're just making investments in something that someone else is setting up so that they can lock in some of that juice. But if Apple does its job properly, it probably wants to at any given moment have, at the very least, peak production or have its peak needs met, which means that there are going to be some times when Apple is going to make more than it needs. And this way, Apple can sell it to the marketplace at retail prices instead of just wholesale prices. And that's all there is here. It's just, I mean, it's super smart. It's you know, Apple is this gigantic multi hundred billion dollar a year company, and in a multinational company, and it's made all these investments in an area that it thinks is important, and that is producing green energy that mm-hmm. it can use. And yep. rather than yep. just like, you know, having apparently they could sell at wholesale prices without approval from FERC.
Right.
But if they're making this much surplus, they want to make more money off of it.
Sure. Right. Yeah. If you're going to sell it, you might as well sell it at a retail price.
521 megawatts announced so far today, which isn't huge. I mean, a normal coal-fired power plant like the one down in Pueblo, Colorado, puts out about 500 megawatts. A typical solar power plant generates, 60, 80, maybe 100. One of my favorite ones, and I wonder why Apple isn't doing it, one of my favorite ones is the Molten Salt plant in Crescent Dunes in Tonopah, Nevada. This is a very interesting plant because they use molten salt that is heated by solar reflectors, not solar cells. And this molten salt stays so hot that the plant can generate electricity at night and for days if it's cloudy. It's called Crescent Dunes. It's a very interesting plant. I wonder why Apple isn't doing that.
I've never even heard of this before.
I haven't either.
Yeah, yeah. It's awesome. It's awesome. It's like a 500-foot tower with a sea of aluminum reflectors that shine light on this top of the tower. Molten salt is stored, and then it's hot enough to drive steam turbines when it's released properly. So, well, anyway, that's just a technical aside. I wanted everybody to know about Crescent Dunes in Tonopah, Nevada. And it's part of a U.S. energy project, the Energy Commission.
I can tell you exactly why Apple's not doing that. And it's because a setup like that looks so much like an evil genius's lair. And no one wants to create the image that Tim Cook is an evil overlord ready to take over the world, and the only one that can stop him is James Bond.
Yeah, there's a project in Europe that I saw on, I assume, the Science Channel, where solar reflectors are all aiming at a single point on a tall tower. It actually sounds a little bit similar to what you're talking about, John.
Yeah,
they're using salt.
Department of Energy project is just the first. It was a prototype. It went into operation last year, and I heard they're going to build more, and I think Europe is all over it, too. But, might be.
But, I mean, it absolutely looks like some sort of energy
war. They ran into some problems with killing birds, but they solved it. I don't remember how.
But back to Apple, this also makes it easier for Apple to continue to make these investments. Not that Apple has had to justify its investments, but by, you know, turning this into a money-making operation, well, you know, Apple, again, it's just being very efficient from a commercial standpoint. And also, it should be a big blueprint for other companies to follow.
I think it's pretty cool.
It sets a great example. I think I remember reading somewhere in that article that it was kind of a shot across the bow to other companies who, you know, buy their power from conventional sources. And Apple can say, hey, look, we're being good stewards. We work on our recyclable products. We're green. We generate renewable resources. We're being good stewards. We have a publicly moral stance on...
And it's profitable.
Well. And it's profitable. It's making money. Yeah.
So am I just falling for Apple propaganda, or is Apple really putting their money where their mouth is? And when they say they are being an environmentally conscious and responsible company, they're really doing it?
I think they are. I think Tim Cook's sense of morality is driving this. Taking care of the planet. It's doing something good for a change. You know?
But again, I can't emphasize this enough. You know, one of the bugaboos from the portion of, I mean, this is almost entirely isolated to the U.S., but the portion of our society that actually wants to demonize green energy, Apple is just showing again and again and again that it can be green and make money.
Right. Which is pretty impressive.
Which is what President Obama has been saying for 7.5 years, that there are jobs in this industry. It's just it's a question of transitioning to green jobs. Yeah, people go out of work, but we don't have typewriter repairmen anymore either, and those guys are all out of work. So there's a transition going on. With electric cars, are going to be a big transition. Apple's helping with the transition.
Jobs. All right. Well, that's pretty awesome. And I mentioned we have a sponsor today, and I think that was right about the same time I was giving you a hard time, John. But the point is that sponsor is Atlassian, and Atlassian is a company that makes some pretty powerful and pretty useful products that you've probably heard of, even if you didn't know the company that made them. And one of the apps that they make is called HipChat. And it's an instant messaging and instant video chat app that you can use for group conversations. So, you know, there's lots of products that are out there that will let you do that. What sets HipChat apart is that it's designed specifically to be used in group environments and to work seamlessly with Atlassian's other products, which would be products like Bitbucket for managing all of the code for apps that you're collaborating on, Confluence for creating and sharing all different types of content and keeping data related to that content organized. And then there's also Jira, which is a tool for managing the tasks that you're assigning to different teams and different individuals. And you put all those pieces together and you have a really powerful system for collaborating on all different types of projects, no matter where you happen to be. So you really need to go check out what they have going on. Go to the Atlassian website. It's atlassian.com and check out what they have going on, because odds are there's a tool that you need to get your job done more efficiently. So thank you, Atlassian, for being our sponsor. Okay, so one other thing I want to hit before we wrap up today. I've noticed this trend with Apple, and I'm curious where you see this going. So we already have Touch ID, and Touch ID lets us use our fingerprints for our passcode on our iOS devices. There's talk that may be coming to the Mac at some point, but we do know that with iOS 10 and macOS Sierra, we'll be able to use our Apple Watch to unlock our Macs when we get within just a few feet of them. So instead of having to type our passcode at the lock screen on our Mac, we just get near and our Apple Watch says, yep, you can use your computer now.
How near? As Craig Federighi, if I can say that, recently explained, the watch calculates the light speed travel time to make sure you're within so many meters of the Mac and to make sure that there's no disruption in the signal and that the timing is right to prove that you are right there.
Which is pretty impressive.
Yes.
And okay, so you put all this together, and what this has me wondering is if Apple is very gently taking us down a path where eventually we just stop using passwords. And I want to know what you guys think about this.
Well, I thought about that in the sense of the law right now, you know, there's the FBI versus Apple dispute brought to the forefront the idea that what you know can't be forced out of you, but what you are in terms of your DNA or your fingerprint can be compelled out of you as evidence. And so I think what we're going through right now is a phase where, as Apple tends to do, and as I mentioned Friday, they're gently boiling our frog in white wine and garlic here to slowly move us away from bad passwords for convenience in special circumstances and cases. But as you know, after your phone reboots or has been idle for a certain amount of time, I think it's 72 hours, you have to re-enter your iPhone password. So I don't think this is a motion towards eliminating passwords. I think it's a motion towards reduced emphasis on daily use for convenience with passwords in the background. That's how I see it.
Yeah, okay. I'll back that up.
All right. So we're not looking at something that's like this revolutionary conspiracy, and I'm using that term hyperbolically, to move us away from regular passwords. Ha! Huh. That's so funny. Siri's listening to what I'm saying. It is a conspiracy. Anyhow, so this isn't anything that's...
Like Sam, Siri is always listening.
Just like Sam, Siri is always listening. Although, Sam is a lot more responsive.
And Sam came first, but whatever.
Yeah. Anyhow, so this isn't a huge thing, per se, but this is a clever way of Apple moving us down a path where we have convenience for our passwords when appropriate, but we'll still be in a position where they will be required to help protect our safety, our security and our privacy when appropriate.
It might help get rid of that yellow sticky in the top right-hand drawer of your desk.
You know how I avoid that problem, John?
And read the password and then log on. You know, might help get rid of that.
Yeah. I have a desk that doesn't have drawers, so I saved myself.
You stick it right on your display?
Right, because no one ever looks there.
Right, no one looks there. I think that if you look far enough out, that Apple and plenty of other companies are thinking forward to a day when passwords are an LOL thing of the past.
Yeah.
Eventually. And what we're seeing now is merely an intermediary step, but it does seem like Apple is probably ahead of the competition again when it comes to doing this in a comprehensive, holistic way. As a matter of fact, Apple's whole widget model makes it a lot easier for Apple to do something like this than it would be for anyone else.
Brian, do you think the combination of Watch OS 3 and its glee and glory combined with auto login will help spur Apple Watch sales? Any thoughts?
I don't think this is being done to spur Apple Watch sales. I think this is more like that. This is one of the things. I mean, I would imagine this has been on a roadmap for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Within Apple, I mean, and that this is merely one of the things that they think Apple Watch enables. I mean, you know, if Apple ever gets to the point where it's enabling features in order to sell a flagging product, well, then
you know, I didn't mean it that way. I was thinking in the sense of unintended fallout as opposed to pre-planning. In other words, this is done because Apple wants to go along this route of better authentication and using our watch to log in. But as we know, some things take off on their own and have unintended consequences, serendipity. And that's the sense in which I was thinking about it.
Yeah, fair enough.
All right, so we're out of time, but I'm going to ask each of you this question. Once iOS 10 is available and Mac OS Sierra is available, are you going to use your Apple Watch to unlock your Mac?
Absolutely.
Heck yeah.
Absolutely.
Are you kidding? Giddy up. I cannot wait.
Yes.
It's awesome.
All right. Same here, which means that when I start my workday, I will probably have to start putting my watch on, because typically I don't put my watch on until I leave for the first time on whatever the day is.
I'm such a slug abed that I need every possible hour of movement to register to get through my my 12 hours of movement. So I put my anyway. Yeah, I'm lazy. But hello.
And I got to say light thing on? Speed. I got to say light speed earlier on the show too.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Also, molten salt.
Yes.
Yeah. Hey, we are out of time.
And the summer solstice.
That's right, Mr. Science.
Geekfest.
Yes. John, thank you so much for being here today.
You're very welcome.
Brian, thank you for being here.
You are also welcome.
And Atlassian, thank you for being our sponsor today. Head over to their website, atlassian.com, and check out their great products. Listeners, thank you for joining us. We'll see everyone again tomorrow.